play that song in L.A., fucking dead faces. I don't know if it's medically because of that or I just didn't feel anything. But. It's I've been doing this for 12 years. My dad still refers to what I do for a living as a hobby. I come from a very blue-collar background. My great-grandfather was a tobacco farmer. My grandpa was a tobacco farmer. My dad was a tobacco farmer. I decided to go to college and get a political science and history degree, which is not tobacco farming. So needless to say, this is what you can do with going to school for history and political science. You can be a songwriter. It's about one of the few things you can do with it. But my dad still, for a long time, my dad had no idea what I did for a living. So every Christmas, Thanksgiving, we would have really awkward conversations about what I did for a living. And it would always start off with one sentence. And if you ever hear this sentence, just know that it's going to be followed by something that is going to insult you to no end. But he says it in such a loving dad way that you got to forgive it. He always starts off the conversation. It's usually during a football game after we've eaten. It's, let me get this straight. If your dad ever says that to you, it's going to be followed by something so insulting that it makes you want to walk out of the house immediately. But he says, let me get this straight. People pay money to listen to you bitch about your problems. Yes, Dad, that's kind of how I make a living, you know. And he's like, I just don't get it. Like, I lived with you for 18 years, and you never once said anything I'd pay money to hear you say twice. I love you too, Dad. That's usually the time there's an awkward handshake slash hug, and I walk out and tell him I'll see him next Christmas. But a couple years ago, my dad finally came to a show. Around the 10-year mark, my dad came to a show and saw me play music live, and he got it. He understood it. I know he got it because that's the only thing he could say to me after the show. He was like, I get it. And I was like, it was the greatest thing he could have said. Like, I totally know what he meant. My dad's not a man of many words. He's pretty emotionless for the most part. Growing up, I thought he just was, like, impenetrable. I thought he was, like, a superhero. He never once showed any kind of, like, sadness, any really emotion. Like, I watched him bury his own father. And not once did he, like, even, like, tear up or, like, get emotional. And, like, I was 7, so I started crying. My dad just slapped me upside the back of the head, and he's like, that's life, boy. That's life. And I was, like, cold-blooded, like, so hardcore my dad was. I've only seen my dad cry once. I saw my dad cry when Dale Earnhardt died. I don't know how y'all take NASCAR out here in the Pacific Northwest. In North Carolina, NASCAR is kind of a big deal. And so when the farming industry went belly up in the early 90s, my dad started selling auto parts. So needless to say, he was pretty stoked about race car driving. And when Dale Earnhardt died, it was the first time my dad became a human to me. I was a junior in high school, and literally I saw my dad cry. It was the craziest thing I'd ever seen in my entire life. And the second time I saw my dad well up was when he told me that he got it. And I knew that he was proud of me. Because most people who choose this for a living, like an artist, that's one thing you battle with every day is wondering if your parents are proud of what you're doing. Because it's not the most glamorous lifestyle. It's not the most songwriters you meet are pretty smart kids, but they don't get paid very well. They don't have the greatest living conditions. And so most parents don't want their kids going into this line of work. But most of us are called to do it. You know, most of us, we're not good at anything else. I'm a shitty server. I'm a shitty bartender. Like, if you ever ate at the Olive Garden in Cary, North Carolina from 2002 to 2006, I apologize. Because I guarantee I probably waited on you. And other than bringing more breadsticks, I was a pretty miserable human being as far as that goes. But I was riding pretty high on being a songwriter through my late 20s after my dad told me he dug what I was doing. Until a substitute teacher at my high school stopped my mother at the grocery store parking lot on a Sunday afternoon and said to her, you should be really disappointed that your son's a songwriter. And I don't know how grocery store shopping here is on Sundays, but in the South, that's a big deal. Everybody's at the grocery store. Everybody's there after church picking up groceries for the week. So it's like a public forum to air your grievances with anybody. And this lady came up in front of God and everybody and basically told my mother she was a terrible parent. I don't know if you've ever met Beverly Barm. I don't know how to say this without sounding mean, but I mean it in like a very loving son way. She's a maniacal bitch. On my most confident day, my cockiest day, I would never cross my mother. I would never say anything ill in her general direction ever, yet alone say something to her in a public forum about how she was a bad parent. So my mom literally pushes the buggy away and says, Anna, fuck you. Walks out, leaves the groceries in the middle of the grocery store, like gets on the phone with me and calls me, and she's like, you're not going to believe what just happened. I was like, Mama, what happened? She's like, I ran into Miss Pruitt at the grocery store. I was like, what'd she say? She said I should be ashamed of you for being a songwriter. I was like, fuck her. And my mom's like, that's exactly what I told her. And so it got me thinking, and I wrote a song about it. It got me thinking. I spent most of my 20s wondering if my parents were proud of me and really just giving a shit what other people thought about me. And when I turned 30, I came to this, like, amazing realization that I stopped giving a shit what people thought about me, and I started giving a shit about what I thought about myself. And I get to crawl out of bed every single morning. I get to do something I'm passionate about. That's success, people. When you get to get out of bed every morning, and you're stoked at what you do, I don't care how much money you make. That's passion. I mean, that's success. So if you get to do that, awesome. If you don't, there's hobbies, you know. Find a hobby you're passionate about. I'm not telling anybody to go quit their job at 30 years. But find something you're passionate about. That's the greatest thing in life. And like I tell people every night, if I'm playing in front of 5 people or 5,000 people, I'm stoked to do what I do. I love it. I get to travel around with my dog, who's apparently making the rounds. Just hanging out. But, I wrote this song about he's pretty stoked on being here. Like I said, the grass. I'm not kidding about the grass thing.